Hi guys, welcome to another Crypto Sparta podcast episode. October continues. I think we need to start saying the dates on these, by the way, Brian.
Yeah, October 24th.
Yeah. Yeah, where are we at with Bitcoin and Ethereum? I've only been looking at other coins, to be honest.
Yeah, so this week we reached all-time highs. Like, we went to, you know, close to 67,000. And then there's a pullback this weekend. I think it hit all-time highs on Wednesday, and everyone was pretty euphoric, but there's a little pullback right now. So it's Bitcoin's like still at like 60K. And Ethereum was over 4,000. It was at 4,200. And then now it's pulled back to, you know, just under 4,000, 3,900. So this week has been, you know, pretty euphoric as far as, you know, Bitcoin, everyone's pumping. We've reached all-time highs. I know there are some CNBC clips with, you know, they had Melton on, and, you know, people were like, oh, can Bitcoin go to 100,000? And, you know, we're at two-thirds of the way there. But other coins have been pumped. Like, people are just chasing, you know, trying to get the gains. Solana was pumping hard. It was at like 200, or it briefly touched all-time highs at, or back to all-time highs is at 215. And then this weekend is just a little pullback. But people are chasing.
I saw some news that like funding was negative. Like, the bears are out for blood. Like, the euphoria, there's people taking, meaning that with negative funding, there are more people taking out leverage to short Bitcoin.
Or even longing too. People are longing at all-time highs too. And so
yeah, I mean,
by shorting it.
In terms of the leverage, yeah, people are like taking out like additional loans. So the open interest is to the negative side, where if you want to borrow money to short, you're paying a premium to people that are willing to lend you their Bitcoin, rather than the other way around, where if a lot of people want to borrow Bitcoin to leverage up, then that's when funding is positive. But some of the other coins that we were talking about was Shiba Inu. I've been looking at Phantom. Yeah, the meme coins. But Phantom is also, it just keeps pumping. Like, it just doesn't stop. And
these blockchains, man, these high market cap blockchains are really pumping now. AVAX had a small pump to Phantom.
What's AVAX at? Is it at all-time highs?
It's over 60. I don't think so. It was at 66.
It hasn't broken 70 yet, so then it's probably not.
No, yeah, it's still at 67.
I'm up 5% over what, like, 7 months that I after I bought the tippy top. It's a good story of like, I mean, I'm trading pretty well overall, but that was just a fail. Although I had the right idea, I guess, and I was seeing some interesting things. There was a Twitter guy who tested the TPS, the transactions per second of AVAX, as well as Solana, and Solana got him hands down. But I don't know what that would look like compared to Phantom. And then I saw, I believe Phantom just finished their 100 millionth transaction on their network, which is quite impressive. And then, yeah, like, Brian and I are just talking about these. And it's crazy because we've been doing these podcasts for quite some time, and crypto moves so fast that it's new coins. Like, MIM, L, what were you talking
Klima,
about?
Klima. Smart.
Yeah,
smart. It just sounds to like the normal or regular normie that we're just, you know, shouting out acronyms, basically.
Yeah. No, it's going to get to the point where they're going to have to start doing like what the stock exchange does, where they do weird letters instead of like, yeah. And some of them are corny. Just, yeah.
Well, now there's two, they're doubling up on, you know, there's two different SMRT symbols. So like, so there's going to be a lot of coins, and, you know, we got to be more unique in our naming system, I guess. But, you know, the thing about decentralization, you can name it whatever you want. Cummies as an example.
Yeah, who's stopping you? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, no, it was based carbon. I'll pull up the It was because, yeah, you want to talk about Shiba Inu briefly in terms of, like, hopefully there's some norm. I mean, yeah, shout out. Nick is listening, so.
He also has some Shiba Inu?
No, just I'm talking about for, like, the normies that might be getting into Shiba Inu. And,
oh, yeah, for sure. So right now, Shiba Inu, I mean, so it just got listed on Coinbase probably, like, September 17th. And then it pumped like 3x, you know, towards the end of September, towards the middle of or beginning of October. And then this past week, it kind of was been stagnant as far as, you know, price action. And then this morning, it just pumped 50%. And then there's a little pullback at 10%. So it's still up like 40%. Right now this morning, but you know, I think Shiba Inu is like a good indicator of, you know, normie activity or just like just crypto Twitter in general too, where we're starting to see with Bitcoin pumping and Ethereum pumping, it's been a lot more mainstream in the news and people are curious about it and chasing it. And then, you know, people know about Dogecoin already and they want the next thing, or and they'll, you know, look into these meme coins. But that's,
yeah, kind of, I mean, one of the interesting things too is it's going to be like a weird cross section, because like the the stable coin, the life world changing stable coin Link is looking to get listed on Robinhood.
Yeah, there was some actually big news coming from Chainlink this week. And I think that caused it to pump a little more than, you know, it's typically done. So this week they announced that, like, they have a partnership with AP, the Associated Press News.
Yeah, because they're going to
onboard their data. Yeah.
Yep. They're actually going to be doing, they're going to start doing, like, services for, like, real world companies.
Yeah. And it's really important. You know, data that, I mean, it's a lot of data from, you know, AP has been around since the beginning of time, it feels like. And so what they're onboarding onto, you know, the Chainlink, they're launching a Chainlink node. And what they're putting on there is like they're giving them access to, you know, economic sports and, you know, election data too. So that's like pretty important as far as, you know, all this, you know, talk about, you know, whether election was fake or not or rigged or, you know, counting the votes. And you put Chainlink on there, it's like undisputable truth, right? Definitive truth.
But it's like, so they're also saying Shiba Inu is going to get on Robinhood. I found it. It wasn't based Cartman. It was DGen, who's at Kernel Trader. Shiba, who got the keys to my Beamer? But dude, like, it's so dumb. That's okay. So Link goes on Robinhood. Shiba Inu goes on Robinhood. What's going to pump harder?
Yeah, Shiba Inu probably. People are just like, Link, what is Link? It sounds cool, yeah. I guess. But yeah, I saw a crazy tweet earlier where it's like, you put $1,000 January 1st in Shiba Inu, like it's worth like $460 million.
Yeah. No, and I saw Crypto Bitlord put underneath that. He's like, you put the money in the right place at the right time. And he was like, dude, $1,000. If you had, and he did like some time, like 2-3 months before that. He was like, if you put $2 in Shiba Inu like 2 months before, then you'd also have that same amount of money.
Yeah. Like, oh. Yeah, my uncle 5X into it September 17th. Like,
it's so fun
at six figures.
Like, we've been getting our family in, and it was tough when I was like caught the first updraft of Ethereum from 200 up, and then finally learned how to move my stuff off of Robinhood and then get from centralized exchanges to the private wallet. And Phantom, yeah, 6 cent Phantom. It's like, it's going to cross $3. And everybody in the Phantom community, I don't think anybody talks about it. But the people in Phantom are like, yeah, $12 end of year. That's crazy. And if you look at the market caps, I know. If you look at the market caps, and maybe this is an interesting discussion to briefly have, where I have my Wrapped Phantom and Phantom USD, and I know that we've talked about it before, but just as an update, my Phantom USD, and I mean, yeah, hopefully it's not too cringe to mention the actual numbers, but it's at 4,400 Phantom USD, but at the peak, my Wrapped Phantom was at 2,200 Wrapped Phantom, and now it's at like 12.5. And then I'm talking about with Brian, should I pull out of this double-sided pool? Because as people pull more of their Phantom out, I lose Phantom, but I get more dollars back. But the trade eventually is going to be dumb where, you know, what's an extra 1,000? If I had an extra 1,000 Phantom, that's worth 3,000 now.
Yeah, you're missing out on the gains, basically, by trading it in for or getting stablecoin back.
I think I put in 1,500 or 12 or 13-ish at the beginning of it. And I did a double-sided, so it was like with $1,000. So it's like I'm up like 3,000 and maybe at the same amount of a Phantom that I'm at. And this is the idea of impermanent loss that I could not really understand the concept until I've been repeatedly checking this pool.
Yeah, until you're actually living it. You learn learn from experience.
Oh, everyone's taking their Phantom out because it's pumping. And I don't give a fuck if I have an extra $1,000. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it definitely when there's a lot of action, you know, a lot of upward action, like LP pools or liquidity pools, are not a good thing to be in, I guess, because of that impermanent loss, is that you're missing out on the gains. Because you pull the same amount that you get out, like, or that you put in.
Yeah, so, I know. They're saying that there's going to be, so there's a Phantom convention, a DevCon, a developer convention in Abu Dhabi, but I'm headed to Barcelona. But they're like, there's going to be a pump incoming because of all the news from Phantom. And they were saying that I don't know if we had already covered this before, about Phantom might underpin the Coinbase NFT wallet. But this was some of the alpha. It's like, and also like, I mean, some of it, I forgot what the guy had told me, and I'm not going to say who it is this time. And it's getting really cool because that's the cool thing about Dubai is I've got like some insider info where they're like, hey, dude, the guy that I'm talking with is like, they're people moving to Immutable X. And Brian briefly looked into it where it's going to be gasless fees. But it's like, we were talking about how Vitalik might be investing in Phantom as a layer two solution for NFTs as well. And Immutable X is like, they're saying that it's going to be almost next to zero fees for a layer two. And I don't even know what the guy really meant when he's talking to me because I'm looking into doing this NFT project with him. He was really next level. Really, really smart guy. And was talking about how NFTs, I was going to say as a corollary, because we can still make this related to the markets, is how the NFT markets are kind of dropping off.
Yeah, it's been quiet for sure.
Mm-hmm. And they're getting super duper saturated. And what he's saying is that if you want to do a new NFT project, you have to do something innovative and a cool white paper. He was talking about this project like Kongs.
Yeah, that's on Solana.
And they're giving bananas to people that are worth like $300 a day if you own one of these NFTs.
Yeah, some of the NFT products have their own coin. And
that's what he was saying, is
the banana coin.
Profit sharing. Yep. And so then for our NFT project that we'll be announcing or we'll be building up, he was like, yeah, dude, you got to add utility. You got to do gamification. You have to have a crazy roadmap because all of these projects. But he was like, you know, even so that this guy is a professional that works on other projects. He's like, we do really cool projects. We do roadmaps. He's looking at 3D. He's looking at AR.
Yeah.
Reality, virtual reality. He's like, you can still do a cool one and then randomly some stupid project will pump. But I think that's the first flop. Really, fluffs. I mean, I thought that it was cool at the beginning and then they kind of flopped, but I think they're coming back because like it really does come down to the execution of the roadmap and then actually proving that you're about it, because you can't just bullshit a roadmap anymore and do the same things with just plain merch drop and this and that.
No, yeah, it's crazy. It's like only been
merch
like
a drop plus white paper plus roadmap plus celebrity shill, that
merch,
formula.
Yeah.
And that was when I had like really started on that journey of trying to do this NFT project. And he had put some ideas in my head and we'll be partnering with them unless they're too expensive. But the ideas that he was putting in my head about creating a coin, adding utility, doing stuff on Immutable X rather than on Ethereum are very interesting, and it's evolved because I just wanted to get on the cash grab, but it's taken too long to execute. And now you need to up your game because everybody's done the cash grab NFT. And yeah. I think you maybe know who I talk about, but it's a fellow Federal Reserve agent who has recently done NFT project that it's not, and it's not the Penguin Fight one.
Oh, it's not.
It's, I'll just name it. It's the Platypuses. I think it's.
Oh, that one just launched. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. And it's very similar to everything else, too.
Everything else. Exactly. But they put a little bit of effort into the story and stuff and this and that. But hopefully the stuff that we're working on. And I mean, also the stuff that we're working on is beyond that in terms of like 3D scanning, using physical stuff. And then hopefully, I mean, I don't know, I'm already leaking some of the stuff, but working with physical to real.
And having a whole package. And so there's all these, complexities for sure. And I know, going back to Immutable X, I know Vitalik, he made like a blog on his whatever the Ethereum post is about how, you know, NFTs on Ethereum aren't like sustainable because of the high gas prices. And so he predicts that, you know, the future will be on like a layer one or a layer two.
And this NFT dude was telling me about layer three and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was, that's almost like Web three. And I saw some people Web three DeFi 2.0. I was like, define Web3, like define DeFi 2.0. Yeah. The marketing scam, but it's fucking working, bro.
Yeah, dude.
But I mean, the DeFi 2.0, I mean, you could call, and maybe you want to like repeat what you were talking about, because I hadn't actually with Ohm, and it's kind of like you've been more, and I wish I was back in the days of where it was just me and I'm not running companies with employees where I could just sit on my phone and look at Twitter and really buy random coins and dive deep into this crap. But
well, there was a report by a bank, you know, describing DeFi, and then they shout out Olympus DAO in the report. And that was kind of like leading to some pumps of how, you know, it's a basic way to like get these high ass yields. The yields are crazy. And, you know, there's a coin now, you know, specifically for yield farming or like to get high yields, which is that smart coin that we were talking about. But there's all these like, and it's crazy too, because you're getting this high APY and the price is going up. It's a double, double.
Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. And like, we had talked about that really rich dude I had met on the yacht. And he was just telling me that, like, I mean, he was into stuff early and then he was getting really early into these pools just because he's going to these parties with these people. And then he was telling me about when he made his first couple million and getting in early on these liquidity pools and making $80,000 a day off a million that he staked and then just pulling his million after a couple, you know, days or weeks. And it's like, it really is the type of thing where it is like it's the season of you kick yourself because you're not getting it's, you know, oh man, I only 3x'd, like what the, I didn't get in early on the ohm, or like
your 20% is my 2x.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no, like Bitcoin, like that was, I think it was Marin, the Mercury is a retrograde chick. I told you
that astrology chick that she...
Marcia and I saw her at the fight.
Oh, really?
She was, like, doing the rounds. Yeah, she's always wearing, like, red. It was red.
She's, like, an astrology kind of witch. And witch is... witch has, like, a bad term associated. She's, like, gypsy? Is that, like, a sexier version of a witch? But she's a
Romanian people, and I watch Peaky Blinders. I don't think she's a gypsy, but no, she's really into astrology and
enchantress. You know,
like
enchantress.
The moon is in the moon will be high.
Every full moon.
And, like, and there must be a large group of crypto Twitter people who are like, yeah, man. Like,
well, she has a huge following. She has over six figures. Following.
And then that guy that I was telling you about, the super rich dude on the yacht, was like, he chills with her and stuff. And it's like, it gets into this weird little circle where I've like started to be tangential, not tangential, like as tangential as like
parallel, kind of.
Yeah, more like parallel, where it's, which speaking of, there's that pack drop coming up. But no. And then they talk about like, with Mo and flying on. Mo is the guy who put together the fight night, and it's like,
yeah,
they're talking about,
he's
like,
well connected in Dubai.
Yeah, and how they're like, oh yeah, like I've met them at the parties and stuff, and she doesn't drink, or like he hit on that person or this or that, and like it's like it's a very small circle. But Brian and I were talking about how we're talking about coins that we're really obsessed about with a handful of people actually in on them. And we're like, dude, this is crazy. Is everybody seeing this? And it's like, nah.
Yeah, but it's like going into, what was I going to link to?
Should have come to Dubai, bro.
Yeah, dude, I'm missing out, man. Next year.
We'll go next time. I'll have to come through again, I'm sure. Because really, I met the people, those NFT developers. And they were like, yeah, our office is really expensive, but... And then the interesting thing was we had been looking for my offshore team in India and Anoop, shout out Anoop. We're looking for developers for the NFT project. And it was just shady people. It was just shady people with weird names. What were they, Varsha? It was like Victor what? Victor P.
Yeah.
Where are you? In Russia. Like, where in Russia? Like, in Russia. Outside of the city. And then the other one was Erectus Phallus 69. Like,
nice.
Yeah, this guy
nice.
Is the guy I want to trust with our Ethereum developments. Like,
yeah, oh, we're going to be funneling money to him.
And we were telling the NFT guy today, and then the NFT guy was like, dude, they're all Victor. We had like two Victors. And we had to get rid of them. It was like, and it's not revealing their info. And I mean, I actually, to be honest, just randomly ran into the guy that was the business development guy. And it looked kind of rinky-dink, and it was at a crappy expo that was free. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as good as the blockchain summit was much better. The one with the big wigs. And then this one was just a free one.
Yeah, but it had like good sponsors.
Well, the sponsors were good. It had Bybit as a sponsor.
No, they also had startups and everything. You can't expect everyone to be like,
Yeah, but some of the booths were kind of wonky. But this guy was there. And then we ended up finding out he was their business development, their sales guy. And he had started 2 weeks ago. And so it's this NFT crew just like getting off the ground. But they have 18 NFT developers. And they were like, yeah, man, shady. And I don't want to disparage people from the region, but Russian and Eastern European people that want to remain anonymous. It's not about where they're from. It's about the fact that they don't want to tell you their real name and where they are.
Do you think it's because of the Russian government, though? Because I've been to Russia and they blocked out your... Yeah, I went to Russia 2018. Actually visited, the Kremlin, and then
why?
Just on a cruise, just to be there. And then so we go to the cruise ship, we're docking outside of Moscow, and they, you know, the TV on the, or the news stations on the TV are all blocked out because of, you know, Russia. So you couldn't access the news on the cruise ship in Russia. So I don't know if, you know, the fact that they want to be anonymous is so they, the Russian government isn't like tracking them or something, but I don't know. But it's also, you know, also somewhat sketchy if they don't tell you, you know, if they don't tell you when you're talking to them how to, you know, where they are and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a, you know, two different
Rectus Phallus 69.
Yeah. Maybe choose a better professional name if you're, if you want to get more people's trust, but.
Yeah. And like, that's like those, the ones that actually we got a hold of. There was another NFT developer who said that he had worked on like 7 projects. And like one of them was Lazy Lions. And I was like, well, no, like, dude, I looked up Lazy Lions. I was like, where are you?
I'm thinking about like a different lion boundaries. Project.
No. He said it was Lazy Lions. And I was like, I looked up Lazy Lions. Like, where is your name? And then also it was like 7 projects where it's like, how are you on all of these projects?
Working on like, them simultaneously. Like or something.
It's, I mean, if you try to find people on the internet, the interesting thing too is I have a friend, and I mean, no one's going to be able to find him anyways, and he's very private and whatever, but I call him Yevgangsta. Yevgeny Zhenya. Yevgangsta used to be my roommate. And I was telling them the story of this at the NFT thing where it was like, yeah, I've been trying to find a developer, and you end up with shady dudes that are anonymous from Russia and Eastern Europe, Ukraine, you know, Lithuania. And then my friend actually knows how to do this stuff, but I tried to ask him. He did an NFT project like 2-3 months ago because he's a developer, and he did it on Solana. He made $200,000. How do I convince this guy to work on my stuff?
It's probably like, more now because he got paid in Solana.
He moved it immediately to Ethereum, and then, but he didn't cash out. He kept it in ETH, and it was like,
I mean, that's smart, but get more in Solana if you save some.
I know, probably
because Solana like 2-3 months ago was probably like $60-$70.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy is like, and he's telling me he's swamped, and then he's a private guy. He loves being on the computer.
Yeah, he's like, probably not swamped.
No, he's swamped where he's like, he's got his own projects. And then he's like, man, when I was his roommate, it's a funny story, so might as well add it on. But it was, he created an online community for like bondage stuff and like
BDSM, like,
adult images. Using images that he downloaded off of like some website of like, he was faking like he was like a 19-year-old blonde girl, and he had like a paid group and like a community of a couple hundred or a couple thousand. And
this is actually relevant though in the news.
It's relevant because I was gonna say, these NFT people that we were talking about, these developers were saying you can't do the same old script, it's too late, it's too saturated. Every day there's something new. And then also I've had discussions with Anoop and other people where like, for NFTs, a day is a month.
Yeah.
You have your one launch day and that's it. And I mean, the attention, to get the attention is so hard.
Yeah, it's easy. It will disappear very easily.
That was the big one that everybody was expecting to pump. And it was just so bad. I mean,
like people have ADD, basically.
Of all people. Was putting up some, dude, and I've been showing him to Varsha where, have you seen, you know, Cameo, where you can pay the celebrities to do?
Island Boy. Island Boy.
My Island Boy.
I put my vest on.
Lord apes to 100 ETH. My like, island boy. Thank you. Hex to the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, those guys are just making money off of crypto Twitter.
But I heard it's cameos. Like $100. I heard it's like $100 to cameo them.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's like their, I mean, they're not even, that, what they had, their viral clip, if you haven't seen it, Island Boys, TikTok, YouTube, look
is
it up.
Is it just a, like, I feel TikTok. Like crypto really brought them in.
No, is they it, got.
They got pretty hyped.
I mean,
no,
I think
Tim Dillon also did. He was like, Florida is not a real place.
Yeah, it was on Barstool like, too.
Dude, they're from Florida. Florida isn't an island. Oh, they got on Barstool? No.
Yeah,
way.
No, it got first as a famous TikTok that went viral. And then all these things got picked up. And then crypto just ran with it.
I reposted them. They got on No Jumper with Adam 22.
Yeah.
And then there's the clip of them being like, because then they're like, I'm an island. I be sun gazing. And then they're
like, I love sun. I love sun. Gives me energy.
The sun is good for you.
Yeah.
I retweeted it where it was like, these guys know what the
it's
sun
got
is.
Vitamins.
Good.
It's got vitamins.
You know,
it's got vitamin D.
You sun gazing. Like, yeah. You just gaze at the sun.
You stare at
like
the sun awesome. For like 30 seconds.
Oh, these guys.
Don't stare at the sun, people. That's a PSA. No.
Yeah. And there's all these crypto Twitter people where they do the frog meme. And it's, you know, the frog meme where it's, there's a frog like screaming into a microphone.
Yeah, or like the headphones.
Yeah, the headphones, like, I live on.
It's like this vibes.
Yeah. Oh, and I did see like 3 remixes of it too. Like people are just gonna remix it.
Well, they did one with the tungsten cubes.
They were doing pump it loom dart. Oh, yeah. And then I saw loom dart being like, I hate this more than
yeah,
everyone's
fuck
like,
my life.
Send it to zero. Send it to zero. short.
No, the funny one of loom dart. I saw, it was like last week because of the fight, he lost. And it's like, people are asking for their money back after they bet on me. I'm down horrendous.
Yeah. Dude, and I saw, and I was actually talking in like the lobby while we were just buying popcorn. British dude in Burberry with his Uniswap drop being like, yeah, I've got like a couple thousand riding on the fight. And then Varshi, you remember that one guy?
Oh my god, the guy I could see
you
himself.
Dude, it was I think he was African. I mean, he was a black dude. It was one of the big heavyweight fights.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy
against this Indian guy.
It was against the Indian guy, and then yeah, he was just screaming. Was it Frankie?
Yeah. So Frankie.
Dodge left, uppercut. Dodge, uppercut. Dude, they must have had
the
black guy. I think, yeah.
Boxer. Yeah. And opposite him was this Punjabi Indian guy who was this really tall but really wiry looking. So obviously, you look at both of them and you're like, ah, the other guy's going to win anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But
and he had not.
People in the audience, I think so, they bet money.
They had to have money. And then that was what I was saying is the dude that we met in Burberry. I was like, yeah, was dude, great. So like, what are you in or whatever? I was like, I'm a small business guy. Like, you know, I'm a business student, but like, I've been, you know, investing in crypto and this and that, but like, I consult and do outsourcing. And then he was like, I'm going to try to do the British. I'm just a full degen, you know, the Uniswap airdrop. I've got my mates. And he's with like 2 girls.
Really
I mean,
hot.
They were attractive. They were attractive.
Hot. Also, okay.
And they were all dressed nicely. He had a Burberry shirt on.
He was and, cute too.
Yeah, he was well done up and he was just like, I'm just a degen. And it was really interesting to be at this fight night because I saw on crypto Twitter that there was like some sort of a betting platform and you realize the type of people that you're like with. Like, there's this idea too of like, in terms of like trading, I love all the Wall Street stuff, I love all the movies. And I would say whoever hasn't watched Wall Street with Charlie Sheen.
Oh, and, yeah, that one's good.
And Martin Sheen, where he's like, they figure out the insider info that the other guy is trying to acquire and buy out and take a company private.
Yeah.
He's trying to buy out the company to then recover it. And these are all like crazy business school ideas that actually I've realized that a lot of my business school friends didn't even understand. Where if you're like a private investor, and honestly, one of the things that, God bless my dad for teaching me a lot of this stuff, by the way, just for the long car rides, where you learn how like the insider trading and the vulture capitalists. And I've learned more about it, obviously Big Short and all the classics and stuff. But hearing about the real stories of these, what they're called is corporate raiders. And I really learned about it, if you guys want to learn about, because it's applicable to crypto even more. Because there's no
regulations. Yeah, there's no regulations.
You can really, really mess with the markets. And there's no SEC coming in to knock down the door.
And there's manipulation.
Bain Capital and Mitt Romney. Just buying companies, firing people, and then gutting them for their assets.
Jeez.
Yeah, and all of this stuff, like, I personally love it. My ethics professor in business school was legitimately concerned at some of the questions that I was asking when I was in class. I'm not even kidding. Seriously, there was one class where we were talking about palm oil in Singapore, and I was like, couldn't they just, like, reincorporate and move stuff around? And he was like, very immoral. And I was like, but I mean, if it would be legal, right? This is like an ethics class. We're trying to like save the world. I was like, I'm just curious, bro. Like, like Tom Riddle, you know? And like, so, but if you wanted to do 7 Horcruxes, like.
How many pieces of your soul would you have to give up?
Yeah, exactly. But it's just interesting questions to ask at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But seriously, yeah, those boxing people. And this guy was just, get him, Frankie! And the dude was just getting, if you want to rewatch the fights, there's all sorts of, the Punjabi guy was just faster. And he was taller, he was long, quick. You know?
And then he beat the African dude?
Oh, he
dude, the guy was there with his friend and girlfriend. They were quiet as the grave. And I think they left after 15 minutes. It was like midway through the entire event. And I was like,
because they saw that,
you just lost a lot of money, didn't you? These are the people. I always like Milkman. I private messaged him stuff. I want to meet the guy. These are people that gamble on college football.
Yeah.
These are people doing ridiculous parlays. These are people throwing life-changing money on Shiba Inu. These are people illegally leveraging on foreign exchanges through VPNs. Like,
yep.
You learn who you're dealing with once you really sit down in the rooms with these people and you realize how small of a world it is and who's really made it just from like, because they're all congregating in Dubai. And it kind of all started with the idea of that there is this NFT company that we happened to meet from going to a crappy expo. And I told Varsha, I thought that it was I thought it was crappy, but I did the rounds. And then there were like 2-3 things. And you just have to go to these places to figure it out. And
then you met the guy who we had a meeting with today.
So yes. It was worth it.
It was worth it.
Totally was worth it. Yeah. But you never know where it comes. And then Dubai is the meeting place where it's like, dude, if you had come along, I think you would have been a help and it might've been worth it. But also, I know that you're not in the position necessarily to just go, like, full-time into this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but, man. Maybe, I mean, hopefully this alt seat cycle does good things for me. We'll see.
It's goofy. They talk about, you're doing life-changing money.
Yeah, minting millionaires, the new age.
Your girlfriend's girlfriend's going to have a girlfriend, like, yeah.
Someone did a chart of like where we are and then put it in terms of like, you know, when girlfriend, and it was like, you know, hope is like, when are we gonna get girlfriends? It's like going is like, my girlfriend's gonna have a girlfriend, and then it's like when it's like towards the top, it's like my girlfriend's 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 gonna like be here, and then it just crashes and it's like, when girlfriend.
Yeah.
Back again.
No, and the weird thing is, yeah, that was like the, because Nick was asking me about the secret alpha or the secret stories I didn't tell about, but yeah, that super rich dude was just like, yeah, I've got like Miss whatever Ukraine and stuff in the DMs. Like,
what?
If you get the right amount of money and like you just end up in a weird world. But it was so strange because I think I mentioned it last time where I was just like, yeah, I got to stay fit though. I only like have boiled vegetables and stuff. I was like, dude, why is that even worth?
Yeah, you got to get some. And you end up
in these weird places where it was like, we're on the yacht party. And I'm sure that guy is not going to see this. So it's like, whatever. But the dude that invited us was like, we were at the fight. And he's like, yeah, you're invited, man. Like, come through. And I was like, yo, can my girl come as well? He's like, I don't know. It's going to be pretty packed. Varsha, you got to tell
the whole story.
So then
Mr. Daniel, he rushes us off.
We didn't get to see the rookie part. We didn't stay till the end because we were like, 10 o'clock yacht party.
That wasn't me. It was you.
It was me.
So he was time for a party, okay? And we reached at like 10 minutes to 10 or something. And it's empty. The servers are just getting into the yacht. And
we're the first ones there.
Even for the servers and the staff and everything. We're seeing
you arrive late to things, Daniel. Like, why are you early?
Usually Colombian style. Yeah, usually Colombian style.
Yeah, and I'm like, let's wait, watch this thing. He's like, no, what if it gets off the dock? I was like, it doesn't happen. They wait for people. He's like, no, we need to. What? So we go there and we're like, okay, maybe he'll pick up. They were like, on the hand, there were like 15 people, max 20. And it's a huge yacht.
Huge yacht catered for like a full boat.
And
they had
like
said the night before it was 60 people. They left at 9, raucous party. But then the guy at 8:30 is like, yeah, dude, you can bring your girl. Bring some pictures from the fights. And I was like, we got to go to this because I got to raise some funds for Go Bazinga.
Yeah.
So we left. And then the super rich dude was on the floor of the fights.
Yeah, why would you?
They were dope. I was chilling. I was like saying what's up to Size Chad and stuff.
They came at 12:30. Okay.
Yeah.
And we finally left at 12:30. 2 hours we sat doing nothing.
I mean, we were chilling, talking to the Chinese people, the Binance whale, and
the 20-year-old Binance whale.
It was the 20-year-old Binance whale. Like.
Yeah, I asked him. I was like, hey, what's your name? He's like, what's up? I was like,
he could not communicate properly.
I was asking, like, how are you? So he's like, what's up? Yeah.
And then there was the girl translating. I think she was.
She was cute.
She was attracted to me because she was like, is that your partner?
You should have said no.
I said, yeah.
These are the times when you like just pretend and be like, no, like, what do you want to do? Here's my hotel
key. You got the A-OK from Varsha.
Yeah. And the thing was, she was just like, had this British accent. And it was so random.
Yeah, she's from Hong Kong, probably, or like went to school in England.
She said that she learned it from a British, like,
person. Yeah, because a lot of my family members from Hong Kong, they live in London, or like they went to school in London, and they have English accents.
No, and she was talking about, so I was like, yeah, I like to drink. And she's like, oh, so you're an alcoholic? And I was like, I don't know. And she was like, yeah, during COVID, I was an alcoholic. And like, oh, is that your partner? And I was like, oh. She was cute.
She was. Yeah. Hands down.
Yeah.
Like you all would be cute. You and her.
Yeah.
No, and she, key account manager for KuCoin. EMEA, European, Middle East, Asia, key account manager.
She's very smart also, and she knows like 3-4
languages. And then she was translating for us with the whale. And then also there was like all these other, who is the, there was a guy who I was like, and I don't mean to be offensive, but I have Asian friends. So I guess, you know, I got Brian as a friend. The guy who was a hardcore full stack developer, classic chubby, cheery Asian guy. And I want to call him Pong. It was Plonk. Plonk was great. We couldn't even talk, but oh yeah. Cheers. Cheers. Yeah. Cheers. And the guy was just like a cheery, chubby guy. And all of them seemed fascinated by me. And then Varsha was talking with this other, he was a designer who was a
graphic designer, yeah.
Who was interested in men. So her and him had a nice time talking about cats the whole time.
No, we talked about work. It's just the minute you came, we were talking about he had a cat, I had a cat. So we went into that space.
Yeah. Damn, you didn't even watch the fight, though? The main fight?
We didn't finish the main fight. No, we just saw the semi-pros, and then we got out of there, and we're just mingling in the yacht. Yeah.
Oh, we saw some really good fights. And there was this one guy called, what is his name? Abdul. Okay. And
yeah, that's like his...
butchered the poor guy who was opposite him.
Murdered the dude.
I thought that guy was going to die. It was, oh my God, and I'm almost like closing my eyes, but it was...
But it was so strange because we had talked to somebody else later that week saying we couldn't get tickets. And then for us, it was so hard to get tickets.
Yeah, it was very hard.
This is one, it's not alpha, but it's just like, I mean, part of it is like, seriously, the idea of all, and she can explain now, it's good that she can be on this talk, where Dubai is where a ton of crypto is happening, but the rules are kind of wonky here. I don't know what the deal is with my Wells Fargo Visa cards that aren't working with the Careem app. And then they're accepting, and then they let you come here, but like also like you kind of need to understand your ground, and like, yeah, the heat is gross, but there's going to be events, and Dubai is going to be more and more of a headquarters for crypto for many, many people. And I told you about it last week, where at the blockchain summit, if the US keeps up the regulation,
people are going to move away.
And already China really shot the...
They shot themselves in the foot with the mining.
They had a 10 paces lead.
They accounted for 90% of all Bitcoin hash transactions with the mining.
This British girl told me, though, that the secret is all the Chinese people, they already... All the rich people, the real whales... They've already been skirting the rules. They already have secret apartment complexes in New York. They've already been offshoring their money. I've seen it, and this is like, again, you're not going to track me to like snitching on people. But Indian people, Chinese people, they tell you about how, and Brazilians, yeah, South Americans. Oh, yeah. My company... You overbill me, leave the money in that foreign country. And crypto makes it even easier. I've been learning new things about wash sales with NFTs, physical items. I mean, this is like an interesting discussion. I didn't even really think that we would get into, but the idea of how all of these countries are trying to crack down. The U.S. is talking about, I mean, yeah, they shot down the $600 track everything proposal, but they've moved it to $10,000. Dude, man, I've got businesses, and I again, don't want to get into it too much, but I transfer money to Varsha to pay the employees in India. I get funding from
family. Well, I hope they track their own, all the senators' bank accounts. You see Nancy Pelosi.
Know, right? Yeah, Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. I love the Nancy Pelosi portfolio tracker
account. Well, they list like all the net worth of all the senators and like from when they started. And it's like just crazy.
How does Nancy Pelosi have $210 million?
Yeah, she's worth over like $100 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's crazy. Zero Hedge tweeted that like China kicking out miners and banning crypto may be the biggest geopolitical mistake the country has made this century.
And you meanwhile look at Evergrande. Did you see the recent ones? I kind of don't necessarily agree with the comparison or what people have done, but a lot of people have snatched onto it, particularly with the libertarian. And I'll keep bringing it up, and honestly, libertarianism, and then also shout out Andrew Yang, the forward party, and then there's also Erica Rhodes, who was part of the Yang Gang. She's in California. There are certain people that are younger in politics in the United States, and some of them happen to be libertarian, some of them happen to be Democrats or left or whatever, where they're into UBI and progressivism. Jack Dorsey, Elon Musk, a lot of the tech people believe in what Andrew Yang says, where automation is going to make UBI necessary, and crypto can be the underpinning for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're launching, I mean, you see now they have robots, you know, flipping burgers and, you know, frying french fries.
They also have robot dogs with guns on their heads checking
code. Yeah, I saw that Boston Dynamics one. Yeah, and those
scary and stuff. And I mean,
yeah.
And then I mean, we could get into WorldCoin as well, where they're scanning eyeballs.
Yeah, Sam, what's it called? I'll Google it.
And you know, they're doing facial scans in China for like payments and stuff.
Well, they've been doing it. It's Sam Altman. He's like some famous guy.
Yeah.
And so his world coin.
I didn't know what he was about, but I forgot what he was about.
Yeah, and the coin, people are memeing that it looks, they're comparing it to the Death Star in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like a, yeah, it's like a circle, or it's like an orb.
Yeah, Sam Altman, American entrepreneur, CEO of OpenAI, and then former president of Y Combinator. So Silicon Valley. Oh,
he's the Y Combinator dude.
Yeah.
Shout out Go Bazinga. We talked to Y Combinator, but I skipped.
Technology startup, basically.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, he is the ecosystem for churning out startups, but it's all, you get into this.
Hey, like, but he wants to scan your eyeballs, giving people free crypto, but you're scanning your eyeballs. And apparently he has the technology through his AI company.
So Kobe was talking about buying eyeballs, but if you actually look into WorldCoin, they have the legality to sell your eyeball data.
Yeah, like, that's why it's scary. They have the technology to do it. Like, that's why he's making a cryptocurrency. And it's like, no one has fully developed serious plans to distribute free money to the world's population.
Dude, this is like
Coinbase has invested in
free Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, it's like sign away your life for money, basically.
Yeah.
Like, they're already selling off our personal data that Facebook
is. You will own nothing and you will be happy.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
You will drink the cockroach milk.
You'll like it.
Yeah, you'll like it.
But yeah, I don't know if this is it's kind of scary because this guy is obviously a smart guy, but also sounds very scammy, like giving away free money. But
I mean, so what they did was, it was called Facebook Basic, or what was it called, Varsha? Facebook was trying to, and they were going to use like air balloons to give everyone in India free internet. But what they were going to do was called a walled garden. Yeah, it was like, it's similar to what Ajit Pai did and what the US did, where they do preferable treatment to certain websites. So they give you the free internet, but then they steer you into certain things. So it was like, okay, Facebook is going to give all the people in India free internet.
But you have to use Facebook.
You can only use Facebook and approved Facebook apps, and you can only access websites that Facebook is tied with.
That's kind of
advertise you.
Yes.
And so then they banned it. They banned it.
Like, that's so scary with the amount of fake news that gets circulated on Facebook. They just promote those sites. Like, it's the world is scary. We're in a dark place. We live in a dark place.
No, and the answer is decentralization. The answer is crypto and privacy. And there's gonna be a war. Yeah. And then the line is really at the edges of, there's like these you know those things where they do like, it's like a, I don't know what the format is, where it's like, is it 4chan or whatever, where it's like the orange background and it's like the words.
Yeah, that's 4chan.
That's the 4chan.
Yeah.
Where it's like Anon gets pulled over.
Yeah, but
like it's like police pull over Anon. No records. no bank accounts, has cash in his pocket. Like, who is this guy? And like, I aspire to be that guy, but on the flip side, I'm so fucking tracked and connected. And I'm terrified, because I'll tell you guys a funny story. When I was, I believe, like 9 or 10 or 12, I had been to the cabin with my grandpa, and we'd gone to an auction, because my dad is into auctions, and I'd gone with my grandpa as well. And so we had bought a pocket knife. That's a classic, like, rural. That's
not a problem. Is it rural or rural?
Yeah. Prescriptive versus correct grammar, you know, is whatever. That's, I used to like linguistics and languages, but I'm more into tech and sales and business now. But my grandpa had bought me a pocket knife, and I put it in my pocket. So I accidentally tried to travel with it in my jacket. And I'm like, I must be on lists on lists on lists. And I'm sure that China is like tearing through whatever anybody says. I mean, there's the Enos Kanter stuff. They've kicked out. I got to keep it relevant to crypto instead of
Boston Celtics. But, yeah.
Boston
they
Celtics.
Blocked the games.
Mm-hmm. And then it's getting to be, they're doing that stuff in Australia as well.
Yeah.
You've seen that stuff in Australia?
Yeah, it's scary shit, man. I mean, we live in a, you know, dark society. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
Be careful of who you give your data to. You know, like, I stopped letting, you know, they give you that question when you set up a device, whether to, you know, provide data to Apple to improve their systems. I stopped doing that.
I mean, do you want to just briefly mention a bit of security stuff while I'm going to like...
What do you mean security stuff?
In terms of like what your security profile is and stuff, and then...
With crypto?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that secure, but we want, you know, we all want hardware. I feel like I don't have that many assets that people would want to hack my wallet or something. But, you know, eventually you want to, as your crypto profits increase, we want to be more secure and, you know, put it on a hardware wallet and, you know, be careful of, you know, buying, you know, ledgers and treasures from like Amazon, or, you know, make sure you buy it off like their official site, because you know, there are some marketplace sellers that will, you know, list treasures and ledgers online. They'll like, you know, open them up and you know, hack them and then reseal them so it'll look like a brand new ledger. And then they'll already have access to all your stuff, your seed phrase and stuff, because they already planted everything. But yeah, there's also like scam. You'll get like randomly airdropped, you know, scam tokens. Like, I didn't even realize that I had this scam token. It's like FF9, like .io. Like, if you see that, like, I don't know, it doesn't show up on my MetaMask because I didn't add the token, because I didn't even like it, just got airdropped to me and sent to my address. But I was like looking at an Etherscan transaction and it said you got like a million of these tokens, and so I was like, what the heck is this? So I googled, do some more Twitter research, and yeah, apparently it's a scam if you know click the link. And that's how they, you know, people report how they like steal your NFTs and stuff. So, you know, definitely be careful out there. Like, there's no regulation, no bank, no FDIC.
That weirds me out. It's like some worthless NFT, and I'm like, I didn't buy this.
Yeah.
It's spooky. Something.
Don't even try to move it. You kind of just have to let it sit there in this, you know, either move everything out of that wallet into like a different MetaMask account and then, you know, start from scratch and then, you know, and then get a hardware wallet or something, or you just don't touch it. But yeah, that's my security spiel.
Right, but yeah, should we move on to the shills? Yeah.
We've been talking a long time, you know, about the market and, you know, for some follow-up stories in Dubai. And I think right now with the market, a lot of people, and like you said before, a lot of people are chasing, you know, gains. And so they're rotating stuff that has not been...
The over-rotator.
Yeah, the meme. Rotator, the meme, yeah. Is that, you know, chases pumps, but only... You know, ends up losing money because he's chasing.
Buys
pumps.
Every top, yeah.
Yeah.
Buys AVAX at 60. I'm pointing at myself right now.
Yeah. So a lot of people are moving stuff that aren't moving fast enough for their expectations into a lot of stuff and not even, you know, just chasing pumps. And so do you want to go, Daniel, or should I go first?
You go ahead because I got to think about
this. It's going to be a recycle, but it's just like right now it's just completely oversold. Like the price does not match the value. And it's crazy.
Talking about Herzl?
Yeah. You know it. Like it's at like 14 cents right now. It's just been tanking. You know, they had this community town hall and apparently I listened to it. Howie didn't say anything that, wasn't bad or, you know, FUDing or anything. And people, I think, misconstrued it. And, you know, there's a lot of sellers, you know, trying to move things to other things that are pumping right now. And it's just radically just at the bottom, basically, at like 14 cents, 15 cents. And so nothing has really changed. And so I think even if it's an easy double, I think, to at least 30 cents at this point. So I'm buying more Herzl here. I also, you know, I've been harping DAO, Olympus, Ohm, these past couple podcasts. It's just, you look at the chart, it's just crazy. I'm getting 8,500% yield right now, APY. And the price has just, you know, 3x from when I bought it too. So, and they're expanding, they're making it easier. They're on all these different blockchains now. They're on, you know, AVAX. You can buy on AVAX, you can buy it on Polygon, you can buy it on Ethereum. So it's just a lot of ways to get passive income off Ohm and, you know, calculating your potential gains on the APY is addicting. I'm sucked in, but those are my two.
I think there's like two that I'll look towards, and one of them is Phantom.
That's the same one you did last week, though. Last time you did Phantom.
Yeah, the thing about it is, what I want to delve deeper into is that everything in the ecosystem is like not. And so with the developer convention, it's like the decentralized exchange and the pools, like it's like Phantom, but like dig deeper into Phantom, where I think that the Phantom liquidity pools and the staking, where it's like really do your homework. Don't just do Phantom. Because I'm not doing enough with my Phantom and I'm not doing it correctly. And so I think that if you do like double-sided Phantom and Spooky Swap, that's like really maximizing your stuff. And then
not even doing that. That's like expert level.
Exactly. Like you have to like go out of your way. So I'm not really shilling Phantom. I'm shilling like
the possibilities.
Yes, like do the extra homework. I'm more like Phantom ecosystem, not just Phantom. Like really go deeper. And I mean, hey, I said Phantom last week. What's it up? No, 30%, 20%?
26% 7-day average.
So, okay,
so
26%. Hey,
that's good.
Like, dude, we really need. I'm gonna tell the offshore team to start tracking our shills and be like, if you had listened to, I think you're outperforming probably. But also, I mean, how can you really compare? Because you can't do it's like if you do $10 a week or something.
I mean, everything you lose. I mean, earlier when we first started doing this, I'd shilled something that, is down 90% right now. So I shilled Labs, very first episode. I was high on Labs, and that's probably my biggest loser and the most I put a good thousands of dollars in, and I'm kind of upset about that.
Silly because I missed by a zero on IGG.
Oh yeah, that went up too. It went up 100% two days ago.
Yeah, I went from $30 to $45. I accidentally missed a zero on IGG
because you have dust. You just now it's just dust.
It's just a dust IGG, and then because MetaMask is so shit, I have to keep reinstalling it, and then I don't remember which dust coins I have in my...
Oh, because you have to re-add all the tokens.
It's so, I'm sure... Because I have to, go... And the thing is, I screenshotted my MetaMask, but...
You have to do, an Ether scan. An Ether scan of all your tokens. If you put in your token address in the Ether scan.
When I sell to consolidate, I always leave a little dust bag. And then I must have 10, but I only have 4 coins now in my, I'm down to and then the thing is my Bancor is staked in Bancor. Look at it. And then also I have my Pepemon. I still have my Pepemon and my Pepe balls, which is dumb, but whatever.
Yeah. At least you got the image, right? Yeah, you got the picture.
I have to go through, but I've reinstalled MetaMask 10 times.
Dude, I think it's your phone. I've never had this issue with MetaMask.
No, and it really makes you sick when it happens. It really,
yeah, because you figure you lost all your money.
Yep. But
so yeah.
But the other one is what this guy had told me with Immutable X NFTs.
They have a token.
I don't think that they have a token, but just get the NFTs on that. Because he was like, dude, if you do a good NFT project on this new layer, you'll be the CryptoPunks of that thing. And then so you can also extract that to Solana. And I'm saying the NFT market is stale.
Yeah.
So my shill is the NFTs with this. And this guy was so balls deep in it. Where he was like, yeah, they're planning on doing a coin, Varsha just said. And so what they're saying is that all these NFTs, these new projects are going to have coins that redistribute utility and other things to their communities. So now is kind of, and I love the term or the idea of in basketball, when you get a rebound, gather.
Yeah.
So you go up, you get the rebound because NFTs are all dropping. All of the floors are dropping too, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, you this is the time, if you believe in NFTs, this is the time to buy NFTs for sure.
What you have to do is they're going to keep dropping too. And actually, yeah. I kind of exited my NFTs, but that's because I needed the I got Varsha that diamond ring, so that pudgy penguin ring. The pudgy penguin ring. But you take the basketball, these NFTs are going to keep dropping. But the long-term utility, you take it down and then it comes back up. Maybe mutant apes, maybe some blue chip Solanas. Maybe some new immutable stuff, or maybe some phantom blue chips.
I think it's worth it to get something on Solana right now, honestly.
And I think that things are going to dip, and you just got to stomach it, because you take the ball, you go down, you gather, NFTs will rebound. But there's going to be, there's all this oversaturation. Mm-hmm. And I think that that will clear out. I think that it's going to be a market that clears up, but the oversaturation and then the hype, like, and it's kind of comforting to know and feel. I sold my Mooncat for 1.05. I'll just go back to my show, Mooncats. I sold my Mooncat for 1.05. When ETH was above 4K, I bought it at 0.33. Sick. And that's, it's in ETH, it's a triple, but in real money, it's more. I'm kind of looking to buy back in. But do I think that they're going to keep going down? Maybe, but I can stomach it. Although I am just also moving my, I sold my Mooncat and I moved into Urzdal. So I'm trying to get my suicide stack. I'm trying to get to that.
Dude, I'm looking to that too. I'm like halfway there.
I'm
raised to 100K.
90% there now because that Mooncat got me very close.
Nice.
I might push it to the suicide stack. So let's leave it at that. That's, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast, October 24th, 2021. I don't know what the number is because we messed it up. I don't know if Manya fixed it. But yeah, another episode. We're on 23, 24. We're almost a quarter. It's almost quarter of the way to 100.
Has it been a half a year? It's been a half a year.
Has it? Wow. Yeah. It's been like time flies when you're having fun, right? It's been like 6 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thanks for listening. Thanks, Nick, our loyal listener. See you next time. Peace.
Yeah, enjoy the Palm Beach golf courses, Nick.
Yeah. All right, bye.